Hey, and welcome to episode 101 of Rider Club Radio. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And Tomas can go fuck himself. Look, this week we watched...
let me defend myself. He's not watching Sentai or Fize, so we're not going to have him on all the time, just more often. That's the rule.
A.K.A. he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the translation, yeah.
In this episode of Rider Club Radio, we are going to be discussing Kamen Rider X8 episode... and Animal Sentai Jyojer episode 46.
15, it's X8 15.
X8 15.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yes,
were you not listening?
You were mumbling a little. I felt like I should clarify for the viewers.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I do that every now and then.
That happens, yeah. I understand.
So why don't you walk us through what happened on this very exciting episode of X8?
Okay, take my hand. Let's talk about X8.
No. Well, get your fucking hand off my thigh.
Metaphorically, you know? Okay. So Spencer's Gifts is tired of waiting, and she moves in with Snipe. She moves in with Taiga. She lives in the hospital with him, because that's a great life and a great place to live. And she's tired of waiting for him to take down M, so she steals his driver. And she fakes being sick. She calls in the CR and she's like, "Guys, I'm sick. I'm dying of the game illness." And they get there and she's just sitting there. And they scan her and they're like, "Well, she's not sick." But then she jumps up and she says, "I'm going to beat you up, X8. And she transforms, or she tries to, but it doesn't work. And then afterwards she's sick with the game sickness, actually for real. So they say it was like dormant inside of her, and the fucking Gashat woke it up. And it's General Gun Guy. You remember that guy? General Gun? He could turn himself into a million of himself.
I'm pretty sure his name isn't General Gun Guy.
Pretty sure it's Shoot Man?
This week I found out that the romanization that everyone's going with for Bard is Bud. And all of you who use that can just fuck yourselves to death.
Is that official?
I don't think
Better
so.
Better not be.
And if it is, I don't care. He's going to be Bard forever.
Bud. Bud is like...
Bud.
Bud suits Larry. That name would suit Larry more.
Yeah.
Wouldn't suit Bard.
Bud is the name of Al Bundy's son. It's not the name of the bird human.
So, yeah, she tries to fight, but she can't. She's a girl, so the driver doesn't work. It detects her vagina.
We have an email about that.
Yeah, how about that? Happens in Fize, too. How about that? Crazy shit.
Crazy shit.
So the thing doesn't work, she can't transform, and she gets sick. So a real Bugster appears, and a real fight happens, and all the Riders are there for no reason. They all just sort of pop in. I guess Brave comes with him, and Snipes chasing his driver, so it's not bad. But Dan Kuroda appears out of fucking nowhere. He's got no excuse. He jumps in, there's a big fight, but X8 can't beat Major Gun Guy, because her stress...
General Gun Guy.
General Gun Guy, I'm sorry. Captain Gunman. Because Spencer's Gift's stress is related to Emu for some reason, so it like blocks his attacks. It's a weird explanation.
Yeah, we get a nice little flashback that shows a different actress walking up to Emu playing video games at like the World Tournament or whatever in awe. And for some reason, we're supposed to gain... Well, no, they're going to tell us why she hates him so much, but that was our little window into it.
Yeah, I bet she was...
My question there, which I'm going to skip and ask right now, and we can come back to it later,
Okay. Is
why the fuck was that a different actress? How old is Emu supposed to be?
I think Emu's supposed to be a few years older than her. She's probably supposed to be like 16, 17 maybe, so 6 years ago she'd probably be pretty a lot younger. I don't know.
This show's silly.
Yeah, I don't know. Tiger's 29. He's played by someone who's younger than me.
Yeah, he is the eldest.
He's probably like a 22.
In quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. There have been adult riders.
Yeah, Hibiki's,
whatever.
Hibiki's
go ahead.
Fucking old. But the guy. What was I saying? So Spencer's Gifts is dead, and she's all sick. And they take her back to. There's a big
she's
fight.
Dead.
She's a walking corpse. She's got the game illness. No one's ever survived it.
She's dead. Dead lady walking.
Yeah. So zombie. There's a big zombie fight, and everybody splits up. Dan says, "Well, I don't want to deal with this. There's three guys here." So
yeah, I love how Dan does that too. He's like, "Well, I don't even have to fight you I don't want to, so I'm gonna leave." I didn't get my ass kicked or anything. Just gonna leave.
Yeah, I'm not running away. I just don't feel like it. Okay, and he ditches and he takes Gun Dude with him. So they take
General Gun Guy.
General Gun Guy. I'm sorry.
Why don't you just use his real name? Damn
support
it!
Support our troops. They take. They take Spencer's Gifts back, back to the pit.
Never forget, Liam.
And Brave and Snipe talk about the info that Kyria had, and the info was that Emu not only has the game sickness, but he also, Dan reveals that he is, as we guessed, the progenitor. He was the first victim of the game sickness, because Dr. Pac-Man, who they conveniently skim over the fact that he's fucking Pac-Man, did an experimental surgery on him 6 years ago, trying to create a new form of life or something, and they accidentally infected him. And everyone died except for him. All the doctors died of video games, except for Emu, who miraculously survived and gained a polite, like, curt personality on top of it that he never had before that. Because he was like a dick who only gave a shit about video games, and then when he got sick, suddenly he's like, oh, I got serious about med school, and I got smart.
You just used the word curt incorrectly, by the way.
What's curt mean?
Curt means, like, short, when you're being short with somebody.
Really? I thought curt meant, like...
No, you're thinking of curtsy.
I'm thinking of curtsy.
Which is when you curtsy at someone.
I'm sure he curtsied at people a lot more. thanks for correcting me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm a giant asshole.
You know what? It's better than... I learned something today. That's the first...
at least Rider Club Radio taught someone something.
We can call this educational. Put it on PBS. So, he gets the game sickness and his personality changes. That's what Kyria knew, and that's why he died. And I don't remember why, but Dan Kuroda doesn't go on a killing spree when he finds that everyone knows this. He gives a reason. I don't remember what it is.
He says that anybody who tries to stop the Bugsters is going to die anyway.
He says, yeah, Kyria just wanted to learn about him, kill him, whatever. But if you keep fighting the Bugster, you're going to get killed, whatever. Whatever, I'm just going to leave you. Even though I could kill you right now and, you know, erase all worries from my mind, I'm going to leave you. You're okay. You're okay, hero. So, in the meantime...
It was Taiga.
Taiga. Whatever. Whatever! Taiga...
Liam hasn't slept in, like, 76 hours.
Dan tells Taiga. Taiga tells Hero. Hero almost tells Emu, but he decides not to. So they got Spencer's gifts at the pit, and fucking Taiga calls them and says, hey, Spencer's gifts left all of her stuff on my nightstand, and you have to come get it. So they go, but don't come to my place. Meet me at the abandoned warehouse on the edge of town. So they go to the abandoned warehouse on the edge of town.
Meet me someplace, he says. And Emu's like, I know where that is.
It's the same place we always meet and have fights. It's in the abandoned warehouse full of obstacles and chest-high walls. And he'll give us the overnight bag there. So they go, and he's like, haha, I tricked you, X-Aid. And they have a big fight, and he's going to take his gashats, but then... something unexpected happens. Parrot shows up.
Blade shows up. Not Blade. Brave shows
Brave,
up first.
Brave also comes and says, hey guys, I'm here too. And they all fight.
And they fight. They basically just double team up on Emu. Because I guess their goal is to take his gashat so he doesn't use them anymore and doesn't become even more infected.
Yeah, but Brave doesn't say that. He just says it's mysterious right now. Supposedly.
And neither does Snipe. They both just kind of keep it to themselves.
So, Parrot shows up as Kamen Rider Paradox and just pushes everybody's shit in and then leaves when he's had enough. And that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think of X-815?
I like this episode, Liam. I thought it was a pretty darn fine episode.
I thought it was alright.
Oh, God. You're such a nitpicker. Why can't you just love things?
I don't know. I can't love anything, not since the incident.
Oh, well, we promised we'd never speak about that.
That's true. I can't give details. I just feel like the reveal of X-Aid's, like, what his thing is, that big info that Kyria died for, I feel like they revealed it a little too soon, and it was a little underwhelming the way they did it. Like, I feel like the scene is just, like, it's just Dan and Taiga just talking on some grass, and it's not, it's just, just given to you like that in a really, really, like, blah manner.
You know, you're right. But how much more of a disappointment would it have been if they kept this information under wraps for like 20 more episodes and then just revealed, oh, by the way, our hero was the progenitor of the virus?
I wouldn't mind that, as long as they maybe one more episode, give it some pomp and circumstance. But as it is now...
I mean, I agree with you. It was too quick.
Yeah, it's a little quick. And also, I think it's weird that they're incorporating Dr. Pac-Man into the actual show. Like, he's canon now.
It's weird enough that there is a Dr. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'm fine with that.
See, I was under the impression that the villain in the movie was going to be Pac-Man, but apparently it's a doctor who likes to wear a Pac-Man mask? I don't know.
I like that when they revealed him, like, he was It was obviously the scene where he took the Pac-Man mask off.
Yeah, you
off,
could just see.
But yeah, just at the bottom of the frame, you could see the mask going away.
Just so you know, the more eagle-eyed 10-year-olds out there will know that it's Dr. Pac-Man. So that's...
Please buy the action figure. Yeah, I agree to a point that it wasn't handled the best way it could be. I definitely agree with that. There could have been a lot more pomp and circumstance, like you said. I feel like for how quickly X8 has been moving, though, that's sort of par for the course.
Yeah. Last week, when Snipe reveals that, oh, Emu's got the game sickness, and we predicted that like 6 months ago, but I still liked the reveal. There was enough build-up, and it was treated as like this big, impactful moment. Because, like, the kids probably wouldn't have figured it out, right? The intended audience would have figured it out. So it's a good way to handle that reveal. And then they have another reveal right in the next episode that's also supposedly earth-shattering, but they just don't give it the same oomph, and they pull it out too early. That's the only problem, the major problem I have with this episode, is just there's a lack of some kind of climax in this twist.
I like this episode because of how constantly shifting allegiances are in this show.
Yeah, I do like that.
Like, sometimes it seemed like Brave was going to be X8's bestest buddy, and I guess technically he kind of still is, because he's doing this for X8's benefit.
Mm.
And it's a misunderstanding, but it's not a misunderstanding to the point of, like, ludicrousness. I can understand that it's not like, I don't want to worry him, like it usually is in another show
so I'm gonna
fucking
him.
Talk about.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't want to worry him because it will literally kill him.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
I do.
What kind of stress would that cause, Hero? Ooh. Imagine what kind of bugster would come out of that guy.
Yeah, he kicks all your asses all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So imagine if he became a bugster.
I'm telling you, the orange one's the bugster. Or maybe the blue one. I don't know.
His quiet personality is the teal
yes.
one.
Yeah, it would be the yeah,
so
the
it would
teal
be him.
The bugster, yeah.
Yeah, I like dickhole street punk Emu in the flashback. That was hilarious.
I think the reason why Spencer's Gifts hates him so much is because she was in the first bracket and lost to Daigo or something, and she never got to fight her idol M, Genius Gamer M.
Here's what I think. She was not in the tournament.
Oh.
She was a massive fan of Emu's. She, like, looked up to him, and then after the tournament or whatever, before he collapsed, she was like, oh, Emu, you're my hero. Can you sign this? And he was like, fuck you, kid. I'm the Genius Gamer M. I don't have to do anything. And it crushed her dreams.
I look out for number one.
And he said, girls can't like video games.
It was a different time.
It was 6 years ago. It was a different time. So that's my interpretation. Tomas has an interesting interpretation.
What did Tomas say?
She... I don't remember. Let me fucking go look.
I'll say my thing.
Yeah,
you
go
can
ahead.
Edit this. I thought when I first saw her, I thought she was an ex, but she's a little young now that I realize it. I thought she was just a youthful-looking ex-girlfriend of his, which would be great. I would really like that. If
yeah,
like, even
a character that actually had a past relationship.
Imagine any Rider series where your ex-girlfriend appears and starts fucking with you, and it's like, you gotta kill this Rider. He broke
It'd
up with me. It would
be hilarious. Tomas has a theory that Spencer's Gifts is pissed at M or Emu because her dad was one of the people operating on him 6 years ago.
Oh!
And the virus thing killed the doctors, including her dad.
Oh, that could be true.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. But it could be interesting.
It'd be neato, one way or the other.
I did like that they constantly find new reasons for people to fight, and Brave's reason is not stupid, like you said. It's not contrived. Snipe's always got his reasons. He always wants to get shats because he's a dick. So it's nice that they keep the Tatakai rolling. I do appreciate that, and it's not contrived garbage.
There's always a reason. That's the thing that I'm happy about. It's not complete bullshit, like you said, contrived garbage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a legitimate reason for these characters' allegiances to be shifting.
I appreciate it.
Although I'm a little confused about Snipe's motivation.
He wants
Is
the
Snipe
gashats?
Just, like, a legitimately good guy? Because he's taking the gashats because he wants to stop Emu from dying as well.
Really, at this point, he wants to take the Gashats, stop Emu from dying, and destroy the Bugsters. So, I mean,
he's just a real nice guy.
He's a bit of a dick, but he's not a bad dude. Just give him a Gashat. Yeah. Give him Geki Totsu robots. You don't use that one anymore.
He's not a huge dickhead and an asshole, like someone like Knight, per se.
Well, I was thinking more Dan, but Knight's a really cool guy, actually. I mean,
Knight's actually the worst person.
He's just trying to
in
save
Rider
his
history.
Girlfriend's life, you know.
He's trying to murder 12 other people.
You know, it's a fair trade.
Oh, God.
Actually, not for his girlfriend, no. Maybe for, maybe for Kenzaki Yui, but not for Knight's girlfriend, no.
We're learning a lot about Liam in this episode of Rider Club Radio.
Maybe for Sayla, I'd kill 12 people.
Liam is both shallow and murderous, is what we're learning. This episode was good, though. It had some problems. I know I always say that, but this time I mean it. I'm not just saying it so you don't write in and tell me what problems you had with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, don't do that.
This episode was perfect. Had a couple problems, but it was perfect. All right, let's move on.
It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect like me, for instance.
No,
it was, it was all right, like you.
Oh, like you, the viewer. He wasn't talking to me.
Oh,
I'm
not
also perfect. Oh, okay. Well. Okay.
I think that's really all I have to say about X8 this week. It wasn't exceptional. It was pretty good.
It's not like this episode didn't wow me. It actually let me down
fine.
A little, but it was
as
fine.
I said.
It was a fine.
As
episode.
I said, it was a darn fine episode.
I'm not as.
It wasn't a darn good episode. It was fine.
Especially coming off, I watched Juojer first this week, like back to back, and coming off of Juojer, boy, X8 was a letdown. Oh my god.
Yeah. I watched a different show first, so maybe X8 seemed better by comparison.
Maybe. You watched we'll get to Fies. We'll get to Fies. There's going to be some controversy when we get to the Fies segment. I can feel it. I can smell
there's
it.
There's going to be a little friction, I think, in this podcast.
Okay, let's get to news. Two big,
what
huge
happened
pieces
this
of news.
Week?
If you watched this week's episode of X8, you saw that in the Blu-ray box sets, recently, last few episodes, all the Blu-ray box sets contain a little four-parter, little mini-series. This year's mini-series is a Kamen Rider Snipe spinoff, a prequel about how he became a doctor, what he did as a rider in that time, and how he lost his license, which I think is a really interesting time to focus on.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't check who was writing it, so that could be very important, but it looks pretty neat. It's like
is the worst reporter.
I'm not a reporter. We don't report the news.
You are the worst reporter.
We comment.
It's like, the Prime Minister said that he was going to appoint a new chair of the cabinet, but I didn't check who his name was. I guess that could make a difference. But that's the news.
I didn't check the chair's name, and I didn't check the Prime Minister's name, but something's happening up in there.
I don't really remember what country it was, either.
It might have been Russia or whatever. But no, there's a Snipe spinoff coming soon. That's pretty neat.
It's all right.
I like Snipe. I really hope, what I hope is that he's a nice guy at first. I want to see him become, like, start as this, like, oh yeah, I'm a great radiologist and I just want to help people and beat the Bugster. And I want that to be about his fall, like, as a character, not just how he fails and stuff, but I want it to be all about his, how he turns into a dick.
Do you think he's going to start out without the white patches in his hair, and then, like, when he becomes an asshole, he gets the white patches?
He does. He starts without the white patches.
Oh, my God.
I've seen the screens.
Kamen Rider is so predictable.
Maybe losing to Graphite is so much stress that he just gets a big white streak in his hair forever.
He gets, like, white earmuffs in his hair.
It's a very specific round of gray hairs that he gets.
So that's exciting news if you like Snipe. I don't really have much interest in him,
you don't
to be
like,
honest.
I like Snipe. I just like dickhead riders.
I know
automatically
you
take a little interest in him.
I know you fucking do. We'll talk about that later, too.
Speaking of dickhead riders, an old favorite is coming back. Fucking Kamen Rider Brave Survive, Resurrection of the Beast Rider Squad, is going to feature the fucking return of Kamen Rider OJ. His face actor is coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back to eat more shit for you.
he's here to beat everyone up. He's got a lead pipe. And the movie is about all these past riders.
He looks like fucking Doc Brown.
He looks like someone threw him in a fucking incinerator since Ryuki, and he made it out somehow.
It's true. Like, he has this giant, like, he had sort of like an afro back in the day. His hair was so big and wild.
He poofed out a little, yeah.
But he has the same thing, but it's like old man white hair, so he looks just like Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
He looks like a shrub.
He always looked like a shrub.
That's true. It's him, Beast, Sasord, Tiger, and Dark Kiva forming a coalition to fight Justice? I don't know. I don't know what their motivation is. They're just here to kick everyone's ass.
He's still wearing the same exact outfit, though.
Same snakeskin jacket and jeans, yep.
Well, I guess he is homeless.
Yeah, that's
true. You
don't
normally get new outfits when you're homeless.
I wonder if he's still running around murdering people. How is he a writer? Still?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. But I don't know if they're going to make too much reference to the fact that he's a serial killer.
How is Sasord still a writer?
Quit asking perfectly logical questions.
Tiger.
Just fucking watch it.
Okay, yeah, it's like, whenever there's crossovers like that, continuity is always swept under the rug a little bit. You're right, Kamen Rider these days probably wouldn't be so quick to include an actual serial killer as it's, like, as a character.
Yeah, as opposed to another series that we'll talk about later.
It's not like, and not, I don't mean like a serial killer, like, oh, you rider kicked some riders. I mean like a guy who actually like stabbed people and burned them and strangled them before he became
like
a rider.
A legitimate serial killer.
An actual murderer. If they do make reference to that, though, that'd be great. I hope the law gets involved in this movie. Probably won't, but that's neat.
I hope Kamen Rider G3X gets involved in this movie.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
It's not gonna happen.
No, of course not. They would have advertised that by now. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
No. This is your gang.
Like, Dark if a Kiva. Cop is gonna get involved, it's gonna be Drive at this point.
Yeah, that's who they got.
Except
that's who they can pull from.
Except he can't become Drive anymore, so...
Well, no, last time when Leonardo da Vinci invaded, fucking Krim came out of the ground and said, I knew this was going to happen for the last 10 years, so maybe he also knew that a snake man was going to appear. And
how many times can you get away with that, I wonder?
I don't know.
I mean, it could be like the fucking Ghost crossover where he was just sitting in some bushes.
Yeah, what the fuck was up with that? Just waiting for his time to strike.
Who are you? I'm just hanging out in these bushes.
Anyways, yeah, let's go. I'm not going to say anything for the rest of the movie.
I wasn't spying on your father or anything. That sexy, sexy man.
Oh.
That was Krim, not me.
Yeah, of course.
Just clarify.
Just Krim speaking through you, yeah.
Just clarifying.
Yeah.
Is that all the news?
That's all the news. There's a trailer for that, too. You can check that out. It doesn't reveal anything you haven't already seen, but you can look at it. It's cool. It's neat.
It's alright.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it, though. It's cool to see Oji coming back, for sure.
Yeah, anyway.
Out of all the people who were ever gonna come back, Oji?
I have a feeling that Hiro's actor might have had some sort of say in this, because I remember when X8 first started... X8's actor came out, Emu's actor said, hey, my favorite show is Ryuki and my favorite rider is Knight. And the Hero's actor came out and said, my favorite show is Ryuki, but my favorite rider is Oja. And so they pulled a couple strings and pulled some money out of their... John Toei broke a piggy bank. And, what?
Whose favorite rider is Oja?
I don't know.
Like, what type of psychopath is like, I like the real serial killer. He's my favorite.
Like, Ryuki's full of interesting characters with interesting motivations, and I don't know why you'd pick the guy whose motivation is just that he wants to kill everyone as your favorite. He's for sure one of the least interesting characters in the show.
He looks really cool.
I like him. Yeah,
he's got a really great design.
But he's the least interesting character. He's the least interesting writer. Other than maybe
I'm not
Ryuki
sure
himself.
That's true.
Yeah.
Why don't we slip one down the road, talk about Animal Sentai Juojo.
Wait, what about
Fies? 46.
We're doing Fies first, right?
I thought we were doing Juojo first.
No, we're doing Kamen Rider. All the Kamen Rider stuff.
Liam, I hear there's a new segment on the television program that we're not on.
Yes.
What's it called?
Welcome, everyone, to Moshi Moshi Fies.
Yeah. Moshi Moshi Fies, everybody is Moshi Moshi Fies.
Yeah. Okay, so this week we watched...
That's the theme. we paid someone $500 to write that.
Yeah, it was money well spent. This week we watched Kamen Rider Fies 1, 2, and 3 because I was very curious about it, and so we're watching it now.
I don't know how I feel about watching 3 episodes a week anymore. I will say that.
Okay, so we watched this first 3 episodes, just to give you a quick recap, is Fies himself. You get the story of Fies, how he gets the belt, and you get the story of the horse Orphanok, how he gets his thing, and
Yuji.
Thank you.
Fies is Takumi.
Inui Takumi, right. And how they... It's just the introduction. The first 3 episodes is the introduction, and then there's a subplot beginning about a girl getting bullied at school. I'm not going to go through, obviously, a plot synopsis of all of it. Let's just talk quick. Jeff, what did you think of Fies 1, 2, and 3?
This show is so fucking melodramatic. It's like... The Yuji half of the show is absolute fucking melodrama. To the point that, like, at some point I just stopped paying attention. Because I couldn't roll my eyes hard enough anymore. And the Takumi parts are, like, fucking farcical. And Takumi himself is a black hole of charisma.
Jeff, can I make an admission?
Yeah.
I loved the first 3 episodes of Fies.
I knew you did.
I loved it. I didn't say anything about it, and then about 5 minutes before we started recording, I told him, "Hey, I really liked it." And Jeff was like, "Oh my god, okay, let's do it."
Yeah, I knew before he told me that he was gonna like it. I had tricked myself into thinking maybe he wasn't that fucking awful.
Nope.
Maybe he had opinions that were just a little better than that.
Nope. I'm gonna state my case here. All right,
go ahead.
Here it is. I got it in a box. Yuji and the horse Orphanok, I assume, is going to be a major villain, if not the major villain in the whole show. He better be. I like his backstory a lot. Like you said, the show is very melodramatic. I'll give you
that. His backstory is great. It's just done in such an over-the-top melodramatic way.
Everybody is a dick to him a little too much. Like I said,
yeah. He throws himself off a fucking roof and survives.
Like you said, everything's a little over the top. I'll give you that. But I really, really love that they bothered to give the villain some kind of tragic backstory of his life getting fucked up and then, like, explaining why he's so angry at the whole world.
I like the concept that the villain is the secondary protagonist.
Because it started and I was like, I was really upset. I got the first vibe out of it. I was like, who's this idiot? This isn't Fies. I don't want to hear about this crap. And then it was like, oh wait, he's the main villain. And suddenly, just like that, it clicked and I was like, I'm in. This is really cool. I really liked that you're going to
really
have these
cool
two
concept,
parallel
like,
stories.
It gets so fucking over the top. Like when he's chasing he's chasing like the fucking ghost of himself on a bike with his girlfriend.
That was the first as fuck. But it's... I love the bit when he fucking stabs his girlfriend in the heart. Because that's like... He throws away the last bit of his humanity. He wakes up and just everything's gone wrong. And so often with Kamen Rider antagonists, especially with monsters, I really expected the Orphanoks to be like Grongies or something, where they're just monsters who are dicks and want to kill everyone. It's really nice to have a villain that's got a tragic backstory and a reason why he's so pissed off and then hates everyone. I really liked that. I love the story of the horse Orphanok. Fucking hang me. Fucking call a lawyer and sue me. I thought it was great.
It's the story itself isn't bad at this point, though, is the thing.
His
story is actually... It could be good. It's just written so fucking, like... I don't even know the word. Melodramatic is a word that I'm going to be using a lot with Fies. I need a different term as well. Like
you need to break out the thesaurus. I'll give you the melodrama,
it's
though.
It's fucking, like... If it was... schmaltzy, it would be saccharin. It's like so much of the flavor.
It's
bitter.
It is corny. I'll give you that it's corny. As for Inui Takumi himself, I thought the bag gag was good the first couple times.
Until it's still going on in the third episode?
Like the first time, I love that it's like, he's this mysterious guy and it sets it up like he's involved. He's like, give me that bag. And then he opens it up and he's like, this isn't my bag, and then she has to throw the belt on him, and
that was a pretty decent gag.
Yeah, and then the second time it happens, it's okay. The second time it happens, it's okay, like, he gives her the bag, they split up, and then they're brought back together for this big adventure, and you're like, great! But then the third time it happens, it's like, okay, we can stop with the mix-up now, it's a little too much, little too fast on the bag gag.
There's... there's this, like, effort to give Mari, the girl, like, a personality.
That's her name, thank you.
But they keep, like, fucking going back on it a little bit. Like, they... her personality changes from minute to minute. Like, sometimes she's a really, like, tough, tomboyish type girl, and then, like, suddenly she's, like, manipulative, and then suddenly she's, like, a scared girl cliche.
Well, when you're facing down an Orphanok...
Hey, you know who's not afraid of the Orphanoks? Takumi. Because he has... no reason.
Because he's a dick.
He's not, like... if there would have been any explanation whatsoever for why he was like, oh, I don't really give a shit about these monsters, they don't affect me at all. But instead, he's just like, well, I... when they hired me as an actor, I didn't really know how to act, so I just sort of said lines.
I like... I'm having...
There's a line I love.
What?
When she says, aren't you terrified of these monsters? And he says, of course I am. Very terrified. Which I love.
I think he was being sarcastic, I hope. Takumi is flat, but I do really like the idea of a protagonist who's just constantly trying to get out and through sheer circumstance gets thrown back in. I just wish they would stop with it a little sooner and have give him some reason to be invested. Maybe in, like, late... like, at the end of episode 2, that could be his thing. Where, like, he says, alright, let's do this shit and get started. But yeah, Takumi is a little flat as a main character. But I like him and Mari. I like him and Mari's little dynamic that they fucking hate each other. And they just have to work together.
I hope you're ready for Keitaro?
Who?
The laundry guy?
Yeah.
To be an ongoing character in the show.
Is he?
Forever.
He gets to wear the Fize belt next episode. In 4. That means...
That's also a running theme in this series, that people continuously steal the Fize belt.
But, in order to use the Fize belt, oh my god.
You have to get the surgery.
You have to get the surgery to get the monsters in you.
It's, I don't know, man. I didn't like this show the first time I watched it. I watched a big chunk of it. I don't remember how many episodes. But I was already, like, well past the point when, fucking Kaiza becomes part of the show. When I dropped it.
I will say one thing I didn't like is
this is nowhere near as bad as it gets, by the way.
Okay.
I'm complaining about, like, small things compared to the way the rest of the series goes.
Oh, boy, I can't wait. One thing I didn't like is the whole storyline with the bullied girl is just really cliche.
Everything in the show is cliche.
So anime. No, nothing was as bad as the bullied girls. That was straight out of an anime. Yeah. I didn't like it at all. You know how low my standards are because I loved the first two episodes of the show, but the third one is like, okay, we're dipping a little into anime tropes and I don't like that much.
It's like these first three episodes are right on the fence for me. Like, if it would have fallen, if it would have, like, taken the step into, like, getting away from the corniness, the melodrama, like, the over-the-top, taking it to the nth degree of fucking cheesiness, and it would have just, like, rolled in the other direction, right? The series probably would have ended up really good. Instead, it just gets more and more and more into that shit as it goes on.
I liked the drama, but yeah, I can see it getting pretty bad. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm sure you're gonna like this. Your taste is fucking the opposite of impeccable. Your taste is absolutely peccable.
That's true. My favorite part in this is these first three episodes that perfectly, I think, encapsulates the relationship between Takumi and Mari is when they're sleeping on the abandoned wharf on the edge of town. And she turns over and she's like, are you asleep? And he's like, yes, I'm asleep. Don't talk to me. She's like, tell me a story. And he tries to escape. He gets up and tries to leave while he thinks she's asleep. I like that bit. I like their whole... she's like kind of spunky and in his face and annoying. And he's like, who is this fucking girl?
My favorite part of the episode...
what?
My favorite part of all three episodes was when my media player glitched out and shut down.
You're such a fucking... negative Nelly. It's I thought it was really good.
How? It's so saccharine cheesy.
It's cheesy. I'll give it it's cheesy, but I didn't mind it.
I like the Horse Orphanok so much. Here's the thing that blows my mind.
Okay.
The Horse Orphanok story is interesting. Yeah. I'll give you that. Here's the thing that blows my mind. is that people watch this show and then go back and watch the old Kamen Rider and go, I can't watch Showa series. They're too cheesy. my favorite series is Fies.
That's ridiculous. I'll give you
Go fuck yourself.
Like, I'm not disagreeing.
I'm giving this show a chance. I'm not using my previous viewpoints on this show.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing that it's really cheesy. I'm just saying that I didn't mind that in the face of the other stuff.
Yeah, it's just a matter of opinion.
The scene where he's chasing his past ghost self on the bike was absolutely cringe-inducing. It was one of the worst parts, but there's so much that I liked about the first few episodes, about the characters, that I'm kind of on board. I like it.
The series is like 60 frames per second, which is Blade was as well.
Oh, are you using the scrubs?
Yeah.
Okay, I watched the first three with TV Nihons and codes because I couldn't find the scrubs.
Yeah, we just got the scrubs on our Discord.
Maybe, yeah, no, that was after I'd already seen them. Maybe TV Nihon's translation is just superior and you didn't know it.
Yeah, of course it is.
Must be.
So TV Nihon's isn't 60 frames per second?
I didn't notice anything different about it.
The thing about, like, video games at 60 frames per second is it feels natural.
Yeah.
But we're so used to seeing everything 24. Shot 24 that it looks like it's slightly sped up.
Yeah, it's
which made the scene when Chie, like Yuji's old girlfriend, her new boyfriend, like falls onto the ground and starts turning into dust.
Yeah,
he hits his knees and then falls face first, and it's sped up slightly in the original version to make it look unnatural.
Yeah.
But it looks like a fucking Family Guy gag in the 60 FPS because he's standing and then he's on the ground.
It's
like one frame later.
It's I remember when The Hobbit came out, everyone said this, when it was in 48 frames. It's just like it's a little too much visual information for your eyes to handle all at once. That you're not used to when watching a movie.
And you're not controlling it in the same way that you're controlling like a video game.
Yeah, and it zonks you out. Because like when the camera turns, for example, in a 24 frames per second movie, it's blurred, right? So you don't see the shit, you just see stuff going by. But at 60 frames per second, you see stuff more clearly, and your eyes eat it all up, and it's just weird. It's just too much shit that you don't need to see.
And it took me a long time to get used to that with Blade. So I'm sure it'll take me a long time with Fies as well, but that made me fucking laugh so loud. It, like, echoed throughout my entire house. I don't know, man. I'm trying to give it a shot. I really am. I don't want this... I thought you were going to not like it for a minute, too. I told myself you weren't going to like it.
Nope.
So I didn't want this section to become, like, the Ghost Cast Part 2.
No, I think
so. I'm trying as hard as I can to not.
I think there's a bright future for Moshi Moshi Fies because it's probably going to be the first section in which we regularly disagree.
It's true. Maybe I guess it's been a long time since we regularly disagreed about something. I don't know. I don't see how these first three episodes were good.
I liked them. Like I said, I like the story of. I like the. To summarize, the Horse Orphanox backstory is really interesting. Takumi and Mari's relationship is really great. I liked it's a little overdramatic. Overall, I thought it was really good.
Takumi is really like lethargic sometimes when he's fighting.
Mm.
And just seems like too lazy to do things. I love that.
Besides, it's
a garbage fire.
He's interesting because like at the time you had Kuga, Agito, and Ryuki, whose protagonists were all like very energetic and very like quick to I want to help all these people really fast, and Takumi, here you have Takumi who all he wants to do is get away, and I like that. I hope that he develops more into like I think his development into a hero will be an interesting part of the show if indeed that happens.
Yeah, wait, don't hold your breath for that, buddy. So that's all we have to say this week.
That's all I got.
Sayonara, Fies.
Sayonara, open your eyes for the next Moshi Moshi Fies.
Oh, God.
In which we disagree again. Oh, also, Justifies is the best fucking song. It's really good.
Justifies is not the best song, but it is really good.
It's top five.
Justifies is no Dragon Road.
It's top Fies. Dragon Road is much better, though.
Dragon Road is probably my favorite opening theme.
Really?
It may be. Although Excite is like the fucking bomb. I love Excite so much.
Really? I don't know. I would not put Excite on the same level as even close to fucking Dragon Road.
Well,
I don't like Excite that much.
Well, I know. Okay. I love Excite though.
I'm
always very Ekusite when it comes on.
Ekusite. I like Kuga and Agito. Those are two of my favorites. And Oz is fantastic.
Yeah, I don't like Oz that much.
You don't
it's
like
right.
Oz? It's like the sky.
That theme is all right. Like the insert songs in Oz are fucking dynamite. Though.
Yeah,
I love them.
All the transformation songs, all the forms. Yeah, great.
Everybody always like disagrees with me about which one's best though.
Tatoba is the best.
Right on Right Time is the best.
That's Right on Right Time is maybe second or third.
Nah,
Tatoba is the
best. Tatoba could suck my Tato balls.
You can suck my balls. You don't even like the horse Orphanok. Get off my dick.
I like his story. Okay. I like his character. Yeah. I just think it's done really fucking poorly.
I like the idea of a legion of monsters that are just fucked up humans who and aren't like they're not being brainwashed or something. They don't turn into monsters and then suddenly like, oh, I want to destroy all of humanity. Like they have a reason to be misanthropes. I think that's interesting for a villain.
Man, I have a reason to be a misanthrope, and I didn't turn into a big fucking gray blob monster.
Well, that's because you're not part of the chosen people that have turned into Grongies or Orphanoks or whatever.
When you said you're not part of the chosen people, I was going to be like, the Jewish?
You're not Jewish yet.
Anyway, that's all we have to say about Fies this week. Tune in next week where Liam will have watched three more episodes of this, and I'll lie and pretend like I've seen any.
Oh, you negative Nancy. You pessimist Pete.
You piece of shit. Let's talk about Animal Sentai Juozer episode 46.
Yeah! This week on Juozer, Yamato learns that the reason why his dad wasn't there when his mom died was because he was treating Bard, who then saved Yamato's life.
He rescued Bard.
Yeah, so technically his dad sort of indirectly saved his son's life by missing out on his mother's death.
Yeah, Yamato fucking flips his shit.
Oh, this was my favorite episode. I know I say that every four episodes of Juozer is my favorite one. This was my favorite in the whole show. I don't think it's going to be topped by the next handful of episodes leading up to the end. Just for that,
really?
For that scene... When he finds out, and he's like, I gotta go help my friends, and he's running, and he screams the instincts awaken and flies off while it's all emotional, and he's like on the brink of crying.
Talk about a real emotional scene, not a man chasing ghosts on a bike.
Fuck off. And this has been built up since the start of the show, too. This is the puzzle pieces that have been here since the beginning have all now fit together, and it's the most satisfying fucking conclusion to this character's arc. I loved it.
It was fucking amazing.
It's such a good episode. How is this show so fucking good?
This show for tiny fucking babies.
How did they hit that chord? These kids don't even know what they got.
Also in this episode, Azald gets his shit wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah, Azald turns into a big monster mash and they shoot him with the whale chute.
We learn that it's really, really not a good idea to tell Genis that you're on the same level as him.
Because then he'll make sure you're dead.
I thought it was, like, super fucked up that Genis just sent the coins down that, like, took away his fucking free will.
Yeah.
It turned him into, a rampaging, mindless beast.
Can you imagine, there's a bit at the end of this episode after Azald is dead, where Naria says, okay, well, both of the team leaders are dead, so should we just call this a draw and leave? And can you imagine if Genis was like, yeah, yeah. And then the Sagittarius just disappears.
Let's go home.
I mean, there's no more team leaders. We're out of monsters, so we're just going to leave. You win.
Instead, he's like, we'll do one last game.
Dun, dun, dun. And it looks to be a big one indeed.
Indeed.
I like that Amu is the one that spurs Yamato to go and talk to his dad again, because she's like the heart of the team.
I thought Amu was kind of a bitch in this episode.
She's harsh. It's tough love.
She's like, are you not gonna go back to your family when we don't have the choice? And I'm like, you don't know his situation, motherfucker.
Well, I think she does. He told her about it, and I think what she means is like, she really wants to see her family, and she can't. He can see his dad at any time and make up and be friends with him, and he won't. So from Amu's perspective, I can see why that would seem silly to her.
Yeah, go make up with your dad who just fucking let your mom die and didn't do anything about
it. Well, he
had
a good
reason,
okay?
She didn't know that.
He had a good reason. She did. She heard it with her amazing ears.
She's not the one who can amaze. Yeah, she tasted it with truth. An
incredible tongue.
Oh my god. Bard is in this episode, which is always a plus, but he doesn't do shit.
It's of a liar. Yeah, Bard is here, and he's just here to help the backstory bits. He's here for exposition.
But I like Bard a lot.
Yeah, he's my favorite Juman.
Yeah, poor Tusk.
Tusk, you've been falling to the wayside. He hasn't done anything. When was the last time Tusk did anything?
When's the last time any of them did anything?
Tusk had an underage girl fall in love with him.
Yeah, the plot's been going for a while now. There's no room for single person arcs and shit.
Yeah, I wish they...
Except
Yamato. But you know what? Yamato's arc is damn good, so I don't mind them focusing on him.
See, that's the thing. I've talked about this before, that people tend to resent the Sentai Reds because the storyline focuses so heavily on them to the detriment of everyone else. But Yamato's such a fucking great guy.
If the story focusing on them is good, then bring it on. I don't care.
Yeah, and, like, Yamato's just the coolest guy. Mm. Everybody wants to be friends with Yamato.
He's so...
Wouldn't you?
Let's all stand in a row and, oh, that Yamato is so great.
Except it would be true.
Even if it were true, if they did that in this show, I'd be upset.
Would you?
Yeah, it's so dumb. Ghost was so dumb.
Even after Yamato, like, earned it. He actually earned it, and everybody stood in a row and was like, Yamato, you've done so much for us, and we're so grateful. Thank you, Yamato, you're a great guy.
I feel like the writer was masturbating on my face about what a great character he wrote.
Wow.
Even if it's true.
It depends on the writer.
It's like I don't want to hear how amazing your character is. Just show me.
No, fuck you. Yamato's earned it. What I want is for that to happen when they're all heading back to Juland.
No.
They're all, like, standing in front of it, and they're like, Yamato, thank you.
If it's to his face, that's fine. But if it's, like, he runs off to do something, and they just talk to the camera about how great he is.
I don't want him to be, like, facing away from them, and they're talking normal level, and he doesn't notice.
Yeah, that's...
That's not what I want.
No, just say it straight to his face.
Characters can interact with one another in that manner. That's fine.
That's true. I like at the end of this episode that Yamato is still very worked up, and I assume we're going to figure out what that's about next episode. Even after Azal's dead, he's upset about something. Maybe it's because he wasted his life being mad at his dad.
Maybe. Why didn't you fucking tell me, you asshole?
Well, to be fair...
I made a promise to a giant chicken.
Pretty sure I was hallucinating that whole night, so I didn't want to tell you.
I'd done some peyote beforehand.
I'd been out with some friends and some college kids. And
this girl asked me if I wanted to try some E, and I didn't know what she meant, but...
There was a gorilla there, I think.
Spoke a lot of Spanish. But this episode worked super well, like you said, because of the build-up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was kept hidden so perfectly. Like, the only hint that ever came to be in this entire series that Bard had any relationship with Yamato's dad was he's just like him.
And that could have meant anything. That could have meant they could have meant they met once or whatever. But they kept it just under wraps. And
like,
he
could have been talking about, like, Katus or something, for all we know.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll admit, I almost cried at this episode. I came close.
Oh,
I welled up
a little. What are you, a lady?
I welled up just a tad. Just the whole thing with Yamato and his mom and his dad. It got me good. It hit me where I live.
That was a really, really good scene.
Yeah.
Like, the juxtaposition of him, like, remembering and then, like, putting together that, like, the phrase his mom told him was the same one that his dad told Bard.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful scene.
What a great combination of events. I loved it. I love this show.
I love that the Jumans did the final attack together.
Sans Yamato,
only, only Jumans could defeat him.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Has to be a Juman using the beam.
It was killer.
It was a fucking great show. Oh my god. This is the best Sentai show I've seen.
Yeah. This is, like, my favorite of all the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Fucking, there's a moment when, like, they're like, Yamato, you go and help your dad. and he runs off, and then they're all like, let's do it, and they all go, yeah. And it suddenly hit me that, like, Misao hasn't spent as much time with any of these people as he has with Yamato, so he's, like, Yamato's friend at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yamato leaves, and he's just there.
You know what, at least you have something to talk about. There's a giant alien, fuck it up, yeah. And yeah.
You don't just stand silently sipping your drink, hoping, dear God, I really wish Yamato comes back soon.
God, I know that feeling. Me and Misao, we're blood brothers.
We both have a lot in common with Misao.
Yeah, a little more than we'd like to admit, I think.
But they're friends now. Like, he bonded with each of them, except the girls.
Except the girls. He never... The girls still manipulate him.
Yeah.
I like to think they still do that on the regular. They're like, oh, God.
He's very easily manipulated, let's be honest.
I wish someone would pay my taxes for me. Oh, Misao, you're the only one who can do it.
Misao does not understand Julian taxes.
That's true. You pay in feathers and pelts and shit.
There's something that somebody pointed out to me that I hadn't really thought too much about. But as the Sixth Ranger, Misao's kind of original.
Go on.
He's kind of one of a kind. Because Sixth Rangers are always super overpowered until they join the team, and then they're the exact same power level as everyone else on the team.
Yeah.
But he has consistently stayed way more powerful than everyone else on the team.
Yeah, there's always... I remember when Whale Hunter Man, Bungalae,
yeah,
the episode when they beat Bungalae, all the Jew Rangers came at him at once... They couldn't beat him, and then Misao came at him alone, and they went toe-to-toe for a little bit. Like, the show didn't forget that he was the strongest, which I liked a lot.
Yeah, he's, like, 3 times stronger than a single Juman. And also, I never put this together for some reason, but all of his weapons are based on hunting gear.
Yeah, fishing and
a rifle. And, like, a javelin, yeah. That's I didn't put cool. that together for some reason. I don't know. I'm sort of an idiot.
I fucking put it together, so...
I mean, if you're gonna be a big fucking dick...
I guess only smart people can understand and appreciate FIs, so that must be the fucking explanation.
Yeah, you and Reddit.
I'm gonna be the one of the 4 people who like FIs, I think.
No, FIs has a pretty sizable fan base.
It might. I don't know. I might hate it later. Like you said, it gets worse. We'll see.
I doubt it.
But so far, I'm enjoying it.
You love shit. Like, you go out into the pig farms and just smear it in your mouth all day.
I don't love shit. I didn't like Ghost. I have a little dignity left.
Ghost is far worse than FIs.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I got through Ghost. I can get through this.
Yeah, you'll love it.
We'll see.
It's like a whole series based entirely on Knight.
Well, that's... You just sold me on it.
Anyone else who heard that would go, oh my god, no. But you're like, give it to me.
Hand it over here. I didn't know they made a show for me. They were like, yo, in 15 years, this dude's gonna watch it, so we better make it for him.
I can't believe you talked me into watching this.
You wanted to watch a show together that neither of us had finished. I said, yeah. Fies.
We could have watched Hibiki.
Nope. We're going to watch Fies.
Hibiki. I think is how it's actually pronounced.
We never have pronounced anything right on this show.
No,
so
never.
We're not going to start now.
We're both Baka Gaijin.
I like Zyu Ogre.
My favorite Kamen Rider movie is Kamen Rider Zoe.
Oh, I like that one too. I like ZX.
That's pretty close, right? ZX, yeah.
You want to do mail?
Yeah, we'll do some mail. Okay. We got plenty of it this time. I apologize if we don't read your mail on the air, because we got almost 20 of them this time.
Oh my god.
And some of them had, like, repeated questions in it.
Mm.
I think it has something to do with the fact that we had, like, a Discord open, and everybody decided to start sending email in from it.
Yeah, let's do that now. We got a Discord. I'll put the link in the blog post. Come and check it out. You can chat. Jeff and I are here. I usually
Liam's
forget.
Liam's never there.
I leave Discord, and 3 minutes later I forget that Discord exists, but I'll try to come on weekends and stuff when I'm free.
Yeah, and Liam is never there.
We'll talk about Kamen Rider. You can berate me for how I like Fies.
Eventually we'll talk about Kamen Rider. We have to get through every other subject on Earth first.
Talk about whatever you want there. But if you don't talk about Kamen Rider, we're gonna fucking trace your IP address and murder you in your home. So be careful for that.
We had an email full of questions from Cayman Roeder.
Cayman Roeder?
Yeah, he says, so RCR, I guess we can consider Emu a ghost rider now, you know, since he rode the dead corpse of Kyria? No? Well, there goes my sad attempt at an opening joke.
Hey, we joked about Kyria dying and then turning into, like, remember when he said he was going to die in bike form?
Yeah, so they're going to drive around his corpse, and then technically...
He drove around his empty shell, that's close enough.
How would you feel if Emu used Boxo Bike as a level 3 Gashat? I'd be alright with that.
Honestly, when he pulled it out, I thought he was going to do it, but I figured they weren't going to put that much effort into anything, so... He's already got Shakariki Sports, that's enough.
Yeah. After you started watching Kamen Rider, did you come to find out that someone you knew also watched? No.
No, me neither. No one... No, I don't know a single person outside of the internet... who does not watch...
I guess I found, like, that on message boards related to Kamen Rider that people had also watched Kamen Rider, if that counts.
Like, I'd seen it around, and I was like, what's this TV show? And then I started watching, and I was like, oh, that's that TV show. But, like, I didn't know anyone... I knew people who knew people who watched Kamen Rider, but no
what
one personally.
Idiot.
Yeah, I know.
Is there a certain piece of Rider merchandise that you've wanted ever since you had laid eyes on it, but have stopped yourself from purchasing it every time... You were going to buy it.
CSM Kabuto, Zector.
Yeah.
It's $200. I've sat staring longingly at it. You can still find it pretty easily.
You already spent $200.
Yeah, that was in a different period of my life when I had a lot more disposable income. but it's... I'm thinking about it right now. But you can
pretty
find
much
it
every
pretty...
belt.
What?
Pretty much every belt for
belts
me.
Aren't so... Belts are like $50 if you know where to get them. That's
I
not
don't,
that much
apparently.
Of an investment. Yeah, it depends on how old it is and what belt it is.
I have a double driver.
Hmm.
But I've thought so much about getting other drivers. Especially, like, I wanted to get, like, a Sengoku driver.
Sengoku driver's worth it. Didn't you say you wanted a Lost driver? Aren't those really expensive?
They are really expensive, and they also are just, like, half of a double driver, so I don't really want one.
Yeah. No, I have a Sengoku driver. It's really neat. I got a V-buckle from Ryuki. I got a rider system from Kabuto. Those are cool. But I got them cheap, is the thing. Well, except for the fucking Gatak Sector. But I want the actual CSM rider system that's, like, prop accurate and could fit a fully grown human. But, oh, it's expensive. But, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, it really is. I want it, too. There's so much shit that I want.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what? There is one thing that ever since I got into Kamen Rider, I've continually looked at and decided not to get every single time.
What's that?
Because it's so expensive. And it is the prop-accurate Kamen Rider the First helmet.
Ooh.
Because it looks so fucking cool.
That helmet is amazing.
But there's no way I'm ever going to spend that much money on it.
How much
ever.
Is it?
I don't remember. I don't want to just throw the price out.
Too much, yeah.
Why does the art of X-Aid Level 1 you use for the podcast have Brave's chest plate? I didn't know there was a difference between chest plates. I copied that from an image.
Me neither.
Of Level 1 X-Aid. So blame the action figure of Level 1 X-Aid.
It was on purpose. I wouldn't expect you to understand Jeff's artistic decisions. So just shut your fucking mouth, okay?
And most importantly, when's the Masked Rider spoiler cast featuring Sky Rider as Amazon?
Next time X-Aid doesn't air.
Hope you can answer my question, you two Furby. Sincerely, Nick. P.S. Furby is the plural of Furbus.
Oh, I thought about Furbies. But yeah, no, that makes sense.
Wait a minute, Furbus was just a ripoff of Furby? Who would have thought?
No. Masked Rider was a completely original show with artistic themes.
Our next email is from Zolgheim. Its title is Moshi Moshi Zolguhaimu Desu.
Oh boy, Moshi Moshi.
God damn it, Jeff and Liam, you tell me to watch Blade, then drop the weekly Fize watching bomb almost immediately. Screw that. Now I'm on board with Fize with you guys.
Just, we're actually switching to O's, so...
Probably. Yeah, sorry, dude. You probably shouldn't have watched it. It's going to be fun watching it along with you, having more excuses to send an email every week, all that jazz. The same almost happened to me out of coincidence with Liam and Kuga, but by the time he finished it, I was already halfway into Ryuki.
Yeah, I was pretty slow on Kuga.
see you guys. Open your eyes for the next Fize. And I include this email to illustrate. We want you guys to watch through this horse shit with us. And I do mean horse shit.
Horse orphanox shit?
Yeah. Yeah. Get it? God, I'm like a fucking comedic genius and no one appreciates
it. Joke-making machine here.
We want you guys to watch it with us.
Yeah, do it. We'll talk about it in the Discord. You can't spoil me because I already know the biggest spoiler about Fize.
Yeah, that Fize is actually a ghost and he got killed on his 18th birthday.
Yeah, he's going to revive twice more.
Our next email is from Ice, who says, no questions, just here to say that Kabuto was the show that got me into Rider, and even though I think it has a shit opening.
Whoa!
Not even my fond nostalgia for the show can lift that opening up for me.
What the fuck? Just coming right out swinging.
Backing me up.
Nope.
That's right.
Nope. I was right on board. I think Kabuto's a great starter series, but you lost me when you said the opening was bad. You can fuck right off now.
The opening is shit.
I have your name right down, and I have informed the police.
Why don't you fucking call the cops? I don't give a shit.
I will. I'll call them on you and Ice.
Our next email is from Adam. Adam says, hey, Jeff and Lime. I am about done with G Gundam, and if you know or do not know, all the Gundams in G Gundam are stereotypes of the countries they come from.
Yeah, I know about Chibity Crockett and all them.
Yeah, Chibity Crockett's my fucking hero. I strive to be more like him every day.
Well, you're getting there.
My hair is turning purple. Yeah, I was wondering, what stereotype Kamen Riders would be for America and Canada? Also, I hope I don't come to regret the Rider Club Radio Discord idea.
I already regret it,
so.
Mighty Action Double X, the teal version, is Canada. The super polite, very, very kind.
Oh, yeah, the orange version's America, the giant fucking dickhead who tries to steal all the attention.
How's that? That's crazy. They made him already.
It works. No, what would... It'd be a hockey rider and a football rider.
He'd be a leaf. He'd be a maple leaf.
There would be two football riders in the world rider, and, like, one of them would be Brazil, and the other would be America. And they would both be, like, Kamen Rider football, and they'd constantly fucking fist fight over who's correctly named.
Ultimate rivals.
Kamen Rider hockey would be Canada.
He'd shoot maple syrup at you.
He'd be unfailingly polite, and his motorcycle would be shaped like a moose.
Yeah.
And America's motorcycle would have a really, really long tailpipe that, like, belches pollution into the air. But the tailpipe would be far enough away that everybody'd be like, oh, it's not doing anything. I can't tell.
What I love about Canada is we have our own rednecks here. That are just different from America's rednecks, but they are certainly rednecks. And they have their own dialect and their own accent and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Most of the stereotypes we have about Canada are those people.
Yeah, those guys.
Our next email is from your boy Jake.
My boy Jake?
Who says, who's that? Hey guys. His name's Jake. He says, hey guys.
No, I know this guy.
I know her name's supposed to be Saiba Nico, but it's funnier to remember her as Spencer's Gifts.
It's Nico, that's her name, okay.
Yeah, she looks like she should have been in Zawami.
Yeah, she should have been a dance crew. She should have been on Raid Wild. Yeah.
Paradox's design feels a bit strange, but I do like how different he and his system are from the other gamer riders.
Like I said, I thought he was a movie rider. He looks very different from the others.
Yeah, I love the, like, fighting game version.
Yeah, with the big fists.
That's it's cool as fuck. The puzzle version's dumb, though.
Yeah.
Questions. Number one, who's the bigger cheater? Genmu and his infinite HP, or Paradox, who looks like he doesn't even have a fucking health bar?
Genmu. I assume Paradox can die. Genmu has shown that he can't die. He's gone beyond death.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with that.
I don't even know if Paradox is a bugster or what.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, have a belt.
I don't know. Maybe he's a bugster. Maybe he's not a bugster.
Anyway, question two. Favorite finishing attack term in Heisei? I'm pretty fond of Exceed Charge.
That's not bad. Exceed Charge.
Mine is Maximum Drive.
Ooh, that's a good one. Shit. You snuck this up on me. Because my favorite Heisei finisher is probably the Rider Kick from Kabuto, but it doesn't have a special name, it's just Rider Kick.
Rider kick.
Rider kick. Rider cutting. Oh man. Fucking Kuga's giant explosion kick doesn't have a name.
No, he doesn't even say anything. His the name is Uriya!
Zolda's incredible nuke launch doesn't have a name. It's just his finisher.
Yeah, it does. It's Final Vent.
Yeah, but everyone's is Final... Well, actually,
that's the question!
Final Vent, then. It's gonna be Final Vent.
You know, the funniest part is I skipped over his examples, because his examples were Maximum Drive, Final Vent, etc. Because I knew we were gonna choose those two.
Well, yeah.
Thanks, and looking forward to the next episode, as always.
Okay.
Our next email is from Sam. He says, "Hi, Jeff and Liam."
Hey.
Hey, Sam. Well, Juojo did that thing again where it demonstrated how amazing its fight choreography is, and I find myself unable to do anything but praise the show as my favorite Sentai. That's right.
Yeah, the scene when they're jumping across the buildings with the terrible, terrible special effects was really cool.
The first person camera view was like the hypest shit when they were fighting. Yeah. With that being said, what would you say your three biggest problems with the series are? Oh. I'll let you share some since there are so few. Personally, I'd choose the world only being evil for two episodes.
Yep.
The short stay of the immortal Azald, and only having a brief look into the Jew world as everything more interest is anything more interesting than the Juman's home.
I'm gonna
have to go with those three.
I'm gonna definitely agree with the world's whole everything about him being evil. Really, it was so short, and also I didn't like that it was mind control. Although it turned out all right in the end, but I prefer something like Burai.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it now because fucking Misal's great.
But I prefer something like Burai from G-Ranger, where like there's an arc involved in him turning good. I like that a lot more. Other two. Tusk wasn't cool enough.
The only turtle Juman in the whole show was a villain, and he was only in one episode.
The pug Juman never transformed, and you only see them for one shot, and it's a lady. Yamato doesn't wear the cool eagle shirt every single episode.
Nobody gets naked.
The show is too perfect. You never see Sailor's boobies.
There's only enough time in the episode to masturbate once.
Maybe for you. Get on my level.
Also, I've heard complaints about Spencer's Gifts girl not being able to transform in the new episode of X-Aid because she's a girl. There are reasons established for her not being able to long before her character showed up, though. Do you think they have a point about female writers, or are they just complaining? Thanks for doing what you guys do.
For that, I'm gonna say both.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, there's like this. Obviously, she doesn't have the surgery. Like, there is an in-universe reason why she can't. And same, we forgot to mention this in Fize, but Mary tries to transform in Fize, and she can, and there is an in-universe reason for that, too. They don't tell you right away.
Well, there's an in-universe reason for fucking Spencer's Gifts not being able to transform, but is there an in-universe reason for why only four guys got the surgery?
Because it's a show aimed at boys.
Yep.
It's like, I know it sucks. Like, I'd like to see more girl writers, too, but it's a show aimed at boys, and the writers are going to be boys. You'll get one girl a season. If that.
I find how far out of their way Toei goes to not have girls be writers and how they kind of like rub viewers' faces in it to be hilarious. Like, it's such a fucking dickish thing to do, but it's so funny.
I remember in Drive, I think it was one of the Drive DVD specials, Kiriko puts on the Drive driver and tries to transform. And it's just like, that's one where it doesn't give a reason. It's just like, error, and blows her out of it.
You can't do it because you got a vagina.
Fucking, we detected your ovaries and you can't transform. Sorry. That's one of the functions of the Drive driver.
It's true. The show is aimed at boys. And that's a bad excuse.
It's marketing. Toy sale. Well, actually, toy sales have been down. Maybe if they expanded their audience, it would work.
No kidding.
I don't know.
There's a lot of segregation between boys' media and girls' media in Japan.
Yeah, for sure. In over here in the West, it's a little more. The lines are blurred. I know a lot of girls who like Kamen Rider. Over here, I don't know
over
how
over here
the
in the West,
is.
Like, fucking Legend of Korra is a show about a girl. and it's aimed squarely at both boys and girls.
Yeah.
I never watched it, so I don't know whether it was good or not.
Yeah, the actual quality of the show is another matter entirely. I saw the first two seasons, and oh boy.
How many seasons of Legend of Korra were there?
Four.
Jesus, I didn't watch any of it. I watched the first episode.
Yeah, the first episode, the first like three, four episodes are great, and then it...
I really like the like stone, like the earthbender policeman.
Yeah, with the
they
wires.
They were fucking sick.
Yeah, that was cool.
Anyway, our next email, if we answered the previous one, is from Timeline.
Yeah.
Who says, hey guys. Who do you think is going to be the bigger Edgelord in Q-Ranger, Sisori Orange, or Hibitsukai Silver?
I'm banking on Hibitsukai Silver. He's the horse I got in the race.
Liam has chosen his favorite before the show even airs, based on Edgelordness.
I have an eye for these things. You know.
Also, we know from info about Silver that his people gave up their emotions to avoid conflicts, so he's basically a Vulcan. Thoughts, Jeff? My thoughts are that if he's actually Vulcan-like and he's not, like, a huge edgelord, he might be my favorite character. Because I fucking love Vulcans.
We'll see if they interpret that as his only emotion is disdain. It might come out like that.
They're absolutely going to.
Good.
But wouldn't it be great if he was, like, fucking... the guy... I'm blanking on a
Spock?
Name now. No, dipshit. I know who Spock is.
He's the guy from the first season, you know?
Okay. He was the doctor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the engineer.
Yeah, he was the one with the big tits.
He drove the ship, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name Kikaider. Like the Kikaider that was in
Gaim, yeah.
And he had that like complete lack of personality. He was completely robotic. Wouldn't that be fucking awesome?
And that was, yeah, it was a source of comedy in an ensemble. That could be great.
That would be amazing, especially because he gets partnered up with Gold, who seems to be like flamboyant as shit.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be good. I like that.
So there's your answers, everyone who we answered. Sorry, the rest of you.
Try again next week. Sometimes we just get too many emails and we just don't have the time to answer every single one of them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not very often, but sometimes.
Sometimes. Lately.
Thank you all for writing in, though. Like, I read all of them. Liam doesn't, but I don't.
Jeff handles emails, I do news. That's how it is.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Rider News until I get to this podcast.
Jeff, the fucking World War III could start, and Jeff wouldn't know about it until I told him on Rider Club Radio.
Yeah, we'd start recording, and he'd be like, in news this week, fucking Putin nuked the planet. We're living
Iraq
in the post-apocalypse. And I'd be like, oh, shit, how do I still have internet? So why don't you send your emails as much as you want. We'll read all of them. We'll pick the best to RiderClubRadio@gmail.com.
Or... you can send us a tweet and follow us on Twitter, and that's at Rider Club Radio. And check out our Discord, which will be in the blog post. Go down and have a great discussion. There's a
fair amount of people. It will be in the blog post, and it'll also be in the description on Twitter by the time you go there.
It'll be everywhere. We'll put it everywhere.
We'll put it on your local news station.
Maybe I'll even put it in the
news.
Fucking YouTube description. We'll see. Maybe I'm just crazy like that.
Fucking doubt it.
We'll see. Don't test me. I'm crazy.
Thanks for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
See ya.
Get it on. Netflix.